Page 49, starting with the paragraph now, somewhere in the middle. Now, let us examine this experience scientifically, acknowledging that if the above theory is correct, then our mind is indeed like the tip of a flame and the glow around it, and it is being supported by the body, which is the source of the energy, that is, the fuel that allows the mind to function. If we look at the tip of a glowing candle, we will notice that it is actually flickering at a reasonably high frequency. To the untrained eye, it might seem it is steady, but when we use a slow motion camera, then indeed we will notice that the flicker is truly there. Each flicker represents the gap when the oxygen comes in. It burns the paraffin on the wax candle, and when the fuel is gone, there is a slight abrupt stoppage. And then again oxygen comes in with capillary action, pulls the paraffin back in, burns it again, and the flame continues. We can therefore deduce that indeed a mind is like that. It just comes and goes with each thought coming and going, and it is never steady. As we progress in awareness, we learn to observe the mind with a sense of detachment rather than associating or identifying with the thoughts and emotions in the mind. We become separate from the mind. What are we separating into? Think about it. As we learn to let go of a mind, as the sages have suggested, then perhaps we will lose our identification with the body alone and allow the mind to be a bit more nebulous. Perhaps what we consider as our own mind is indeed based on the identification with this body of ours. Yet we indeed know that the life force which is sustaining us is around us as well. The more we grow in awareness, the more we realize that we indeed are surrounded by a life force energy that sustains all life around us, including all plants and animals. Perhaps due to our own limited identification, we have so far only been thinking of our own body and mind. Perhaps, just perhaps, if we allowed our minds to expand, then this small mind of ours will get a chance to identify with the universal mind, which is not different from universal consciousness or the divine. And it has the inherent ability to create new thoughts, plan what needs to be done to maintain this world, and also lead to renewal of life when it has lived its life and is now senile. We are this big mind. There is nothing else. Only one mind and consciousness. The non-judgmental, ever-present, most intelligent mind or consciousness is us. We are not the small mind. The small chattering mind can be put to rest with patience, faith, fortitude, and resolve. As we start thinking about this aspect of our mind, we automatically go into a deeper state of understanding and knowledge. May we have the courage and the fortitude to go through this divine effort and acknowledge that we are beyond the small mind. Let us keep reminding ourselves and questioning ourselves, who am I? Who is the I on this journey? The answers will start to come faster and faster, though not necessarily without pain. The reason why we have not been able to let go yet has to be something within our own mind. It has to be the ego that makes us feel separate from others. Perhaps it is the nature of the ego to reject any efforts to disentangle it. However, the fact that you are indeed reading this book, the fact that you've been able to go into a deeper state of awareness just by understanding and appreciating this knowledge proves that your sense of separation, ego, is already on its way out. The ancient sages have said that the ego is just a thin veneer. It has no power of its own. It is fed by the identification that we give it. Let it lie in the depth of silence and offer it to the divine, and it will disappear eventually with the grace of the divine. It may take months, years, or perhaps even lifetimes for the ego to be completely annihilated, but it can be done, as it has been done by so many enlightened people before us. We all are aware of the games of the ego. The reason why it prevents us from finding our truth is because we are scared that someone is going to hurt us. In this paranoid world that we are all living in, we have seen too many times the effects of letting your guard down and being hurt in the process. This process began at a very young age. Our siblings did not give us what we wanted. Our mom was upset at us for no reason at times. The teacher told us to do things in a non-acceptable way. Peer pressure distracted us and forced us to do things that were not necessarily right. The confusion of adolescence solidified it. The immense pressure in college or university set the cast. And by the time we received our first salary, we were ready to fight the battle of this world with bruised egos and the knowledge that the only way to win is to fight our rights. Yet, in the bottom of our hearts, we always knew that this egocentrism was wrong. Modern education does not bring us close to our true potential at all. While we have stopped communicating verbally at homes and offices and become stuck to our screens, the ego continues to grow and has a field day taking us into the abyss of further loneliness, sadness, and despair. Nothing seems to bring us out of our misery. This conditioning seems to be deep. The roots seem to be so strong that the strongest physical weed killer will not remove it. In our experience so far, the more we try to attack the ego, the more it will react and become entrenched in our own minds. Before we can remove the egocentric and selfish ego in us, we have to accept and have full faith in the process of inquiry and surrender to find out who we really are. Let yourself be the courage you are. The seeker who has learned, even if once, how to transcend the mind, has felt and experienced this ambrosia of awareness and silence. that person is so close to the state of full awareness all the time. This process of letting go of the concept of duality, which maintains I as separate from everyone around me, is indeed this journey. I have not realized that I, the ego, does not exist. There is only one I, the divine. What I have considered as I so far is just a figment of my own imagination. I have not perhaps personally examined my I-ness yet. I need to keep inquiring to find the divine I. In our group, we discussed further about the concepts of self-inquiry using the question of who am I? This question has no answer. When you start as a seeker, you will have different answers at different times. Do not fret that you're getting different answers each time. Each time you get an answer, you have crossed one layer of the mind. And you keep going and going till you find the answer that you truly deserve, which is indescribable, is all I'm going to say today. The answer is indescribable, but loosely defined as non-dual consciousness. It's a feeling and experience which cannot be described, but that is the final outcome. Enjoy your spiritual journey. Keep thinking, who am I? Meditate and read. Jai Gurudev.